Today on Jay Sekulow Live, it's an Open Lines Friday. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, it's a Friday, and we're going to hit a variety of topics today. There's a lot in the news: the Brett Kavanaugh hearing, North Korea, Turkey. I mean, there's a whole host of issues going on, declassification. So we're going to take your questions on a variety of topics on this Friday. So if you've got a comment you want to talk about, or a question, or a topic you want to talk about, this is a good time to give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So we'll take your calls again on a variety of topics. Let me start with the negotiations that are ongoing between the Senate Judiciary Committee, taking place right now, and members of Dr. Ford's team. Dr. Ford is, of course, the one that's made the professor that made the allegations against Judge Kavanaugh. Now, the hearing was originally scheduled for Monday, and then Dr. Ford's team said that she would not be prepared to go Monday. Now it looks like it's going to possibly go on Thursday. There are some peculiar procedural issues being discussed, and that her lawyer has indicated that she wants Brett Kavanaugh to go first, and then Dr. Ford would go. Now, normally the way this would work is someone making an accusation goes first, and then the person accused puts on their defense. That's how it works usually in hearings, certainly in court proceedings. But again, we're in a brave new world here in one sense, and you have to understand that this is a negotiating process of the Senate. But that's not taking place right now.
Yeah, the negotiations are ongoing. I don't think it's a done deal that she actually testifies in any form because of the bizarre way this was put forward. That would be a non-starter for anyone in any situation to have to address very generic accusations before the accuser makes the specific accusations. It's just not how you go in order of any kind of proceeding. So to me, may have been an attempt by the lawyers for Dr. Ford to muddy the waters here and, again, continue to delay the committee vote on Judge Kavanaugh.
So, Harry, how do you look? Well, let me actually go to Stan Bennett first, because I think this is probably the first place to go on the Washington stuff. And that is, Stan, what are you hearing on the process right now? Because I was there yesterday, but what has developed since yesterday?
Yeah, I think Jordan laid out the state of play very well. As we speak, Jay, the Senate Judiciary Committee is working very hard to accommodate Dr. Ford. They want to do everything they can to get her testimony. And a couple of the demands that her attorneys laid out, of course, they're going to accommodate. They're going to ensure her safety. They're going to make sure that, if a testimony does happen, that it's not at the same time, at the same table as Brett Kavanaugh. So those requests are certainly going to be accommodated. But look, in the United States of America, an accused, no matter who they are, what they're accused of, what the state of play is, whether it's a committee or a court of law, the accused gets a chance to respond to the allegations. So the idea that Brett Kavanaugh would have to go first and wouldn't get an opportunity to respond, that's not something that's going to be afforded. It's still the United States of America. So they're trying very hard to reach an agreement, Jay, but we'll see if Dr. Ford's team actually wants an agreement to be reached. If they do, one will be reached, but I'm not yet convinced that they want an agreement to be reached.
Yeah, well, Harry, how do you view it right now?
Well, I agree with Than. It's important to take a step back and to recognize that the United States is a common law country. As such, the accuser generally goes first. Obviously, the Senate Judiciary Committee has to decide which of the proposed conditions are indeed negotiable. But one of the things that we emphasized yesterday was fairness. And I think fairness requires that the accuser go first.
Well, I mean, Judge Kavanaugh has the right to defend himself. And it's hard to defend yourself when the allegations are some things you've read in the newspaper, and you're not going to go until you're going to not have the accuser put on their case before you respond. I think Dr. Ford should be given a fair opportunity to present her case. And I've said that consistently, and I believe that. But you got to give the judge a chance to defend himself as well on this. I mean, this is the way the process, as Harry said, we're not just a common law system. It's just a matter of fundamental fairness. Anyways, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. It's Friday. We're taking your calls on a whole variety of topics, and there's a lot of topics to talk about. But you get to kind of set the agenda. We started with Judge Kavanaugh. There was an interesting question just came in on Facebook that from Andrea saying, does this push the timeline back so he won't be confirmed before the 1st of October? So, Than, if the hearing is Thursday, let's plan this out here. Let's say they do have the hearing Thursday. And when would the vote be? When would the earliest that the Judiciary Committee would vote?
Well, the earliest would probably be Wednesday, which is the 26th, Jay. They're not going to make that decision until after a hearing, but the earliest procedurally that it would happen would be on Wednesday. And then theoretically, that could set up a cloture vote on Friday on the floor of the Senate, and then a final confirmation on Monday, which is October 1st. So that is still the goal that they're moving towards. But again, Jay, they're taking it one step at a time. They're going to see what happens on Monday with the hearing and then make a determination on when that timing
would be. It does mean he will not be there.
Packed up.
Go ahead.
Well, we haven't slipped past it yet.
Yeah. Another thing is that means he would not be confirmed for what's called the Super Conference on September 24th, which is where all the cert petitions that came in since the court last sat in June, all those cert petitions come in and they do this mega conference on cert grants, and Judge Kavanaugh would not be there. So unless the time frame moves around. Anyways, it is your day, Friday, and we take your calls and comments. So let's go right to the phones.
Yeah, Patrick calling from Kentucky, similar kind of question about the timing here. Patrick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, thank you, and I want to sincerely thank all you guys for everything you do. Just kind of touch on what you was talking about. My question is, if they have to hold off for another 2 weeks, can he be seated on the court at any time? I know he's going to miss out on some stuff, but, I mean, what's the process if he's not confirmed by October 1st or on October 1st? Can he be seated at any time when they hold the vote?
Yes. Once he's confirmed, he can be sworn in. Cases that have already been argued, he doesn't get to vote on those. Cases that have yet to be argued, he can vote on. So let's say he came in on October 4th. He would be able to be there for those cases moving forward. Now, the court can also hold those cases as well. That happens sometimes. They will hold a case because they want a full complement of justices. So that's a great question, but that's precisely and exactly how it works. So that's a great question. And again, the time frame here is still very much up in the air. Than, I'm getting a sense from you that you still think that there's a long way to go before there's an agreement as to testimony.
Yeah, I mean, I think that back and forth is continuing. I think the committee has said we're not going to grant some of these. We want to do everything we can to get your to get your compliance. But we also don't want to just do an indefinite delay. I think they'd still like to have this hearing on Monday, Jay, because I think they believe it's a fair offer. maybe they're willing to adjust on that, but what they're not going to do is run an unfair process where the accused doesn't have an opportunity to defend itself. The other thing they're not going to do, Jay, is let a witness determine who they subpoena and who they don't. They know the Constitution gives them the authority. So I don't think the timeline is ironclad, Jay, but I think they're going to do everything they can to accommodate Dr. Ford. But I also don't think they're going to turn over that constitutional authority. So I think we're going to know by the end of today what's going to happen on Monday.
Yeah, I think that's right. So we're going to find out. We're going to get a really good sense by the end of the day. And we'll keep you posted via Twitter and Facebook and let you know what goes on there.
Yep, let's go back to the phones. Jerry calling from Rhode Island on line 5. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, team.
Hey, Jerry.
My question is a declassification question. I remember last year there were some issues in the VA in regards to people not getting things done timely, and the president signed an executive order or something that allowed him to basically terminate some federal employees who weren't doing their job. Am I correct on that recollection?
So yeah, there was an executive order issued by the president, Harry. I remember this. I got me some more information on it. There was an executive order that was issued. It didn't say you could go fire federal employees, but it set forth the procedures and an easier way to terminate employees that were not functioning. Which is an authority the president has. But these unions, the federal employees unions, are very strong.
Absolutely. So if we take a step back and we examine the authority of the president has the authority to declassify. He has original authority subject to the Constitution. And the Constitution, at least as defined by the United States Supreme Court, gives him authority to classify and to declassify. And it's very, very important for the president to advance his ability to declassify by being able to accelerate, if you will, the declassification process. But the president is clearly in charge of this process.
Yeah, so what the president said this morning is that he is now determined, after meeting with DOJ and his team, that he's going to release the documents to the inspector general. And the inspector general is the one who did the report on McCabe. He's the one that's doing the one on Comey. And in other words, the documents will be released unredacted to the Office of Inspector General. They will put it together a report. That report would then be released. That's the process they're going to utilize for this.
Yeah, and the president has tweeted that. So he tweeted just this about 45 minutes before going on air today, that he met with the Department of Justice concerning the declassification of various unredacted documents. They agreed to release them, but stated that doing so may have a perceived negative impact on the Russia probe. Also, key allies called to ask not to release. Therefore, the Inspector General has been asked to review these documents on an expedited basis. I believe he will move quickly on this and hopefully other things which he is looking at. In the end, I can always declassify if it proves necessary. Speed is very important to me and everyone. So I think what we got resolved here was the Department of Justice was ready to go on this, briefed the president on their concerns, and they found a middle road approach, yeah, which was to get these to a party outside the normal DOJ, the problem individuals.
Harwich has been
there.
A very, very fair broker
on
this.
And let his office review these and put a report that can be released.
Process helps, and the same thing is true in the Kavanaugh hearing. The process helps on these things. All right, let's go. We're taking calls. So as we open these lines up, you all are calling, but we're going to keep going through these phone calls on this Friday. Let's go ahead and take who's next, Jordan.
Yeah, Tom in California on line 4. Tom, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hi, guys. I support you guys all
Thanks.
The time. You're amazing. My quick question is, what happens if the accuser just decides not to show up?
Let me give you my view, then I'm going to go around the horn here. My view is if Dr. Ford does not attend, there should not be a hearing, and they should vote. Yeah. If the accuser does not show up, there should be, and again, she should be accommodated to the best way they can, and there's rules on how they do that. But if she does not show up for the hearing, you cannot expect Judge Kavanaugh to put on a defense to a newspaper article. And that's what it is at this point. There's no affidavits. There's no signed documents. There's been allegations that have been communicated through a lawyer. So he shouldn't have to go do that. Now, once she makes her presentation, he should be able to defend himself, but I do think she should have the opportunity to be heard. But it's a process that, as Stan said, I think comes to a resolution relatively quickly here. But I want to get everybody's comments on this. Jordan?
If she doesn't show up, I think you have the vote, and likely Judge Kavanaugh becomes Justice Kavanaugh, because this is would be shown to be, again, something, whatever, mishandled by Feinstein and not this leaking, but...
She's gotten a lot of criticism, Feinstein.
Yes, I mean, I think that that's something we still need to know about under oath, is that how this came about, where Anonymous became a public name with a lawyer that's known to take things very publicly, and then this bizarre offer that I will talk, but only if I get to go first, that the person I'm accusing must go first and respond to, as you said, a news report, but not have the chance to respond to what the accuser actually says under oath in the hearing. So a lot of this is being put forward right now and would not be accepted. It is up to the committee at this point, but and they are in negotiations. What we don't know even from these is whether or not it would be all behind the closed doors anyways.
Right.
That was not clear in any reports about these negotiations.
That's right.
Yet.
So, that's right.
So we keep talking about these hearings. Let's make sure we all realize that can be behind closed doors. And I noted it immediately when reading all these reports that was never mentioned one way or the other.
Harry, what do you think?
Well, there has been no sworn testimony this particular point in time. So if the accuser does not show up, the nominee should not be required to respond to rumor and innuendo and newspaper articles. That would be entirely unfair. The nominee was questioned for over 32 hours. And given that, the Senate has had a background reports from the FBI, the Senate should fulfill its constitutional role of advice and consent, and they ought to vote.
Then,
I think a couple things, Jay. First of all, on whether or not it's open or closed, the chairman continues to say that is entirely up to Dr. Ford. He would do whatever she wants to do on that question. On the question of if she does not show up, will they require Brett Kavanaugh to testify? The answer to that is no. They would move immediately to a vote. Jay, I do have a lot of sympathy for the judge in that situation, though, because he has continued to say, I want a hearing because where do I go to get my good name back?
Yep.
So, you know, maybe in that situation he puts a statement out, but they certainly would not require him to testify if she doesn't
show up.
Well,
it'd be one thing to put a statement out, and it's quite another thing to go to a hearing and be questioned when the accuser isn't there. Now, the accuser the way it should work is this. The accuser should go first, put on the case. Judge Kavanaugh should respond. If they decide to do it this other method, at a minimum, he has to have a rebuttal. Just in fairness, no matter whose side you're on, there shouldn't be sides, by the way. This should be, what does the Constitution say? I keep saying that. All right. We're going to be taking a break, and we're going to be taking more of your calls at 800-684-3110. We had a lot of people calling on this Friday there, Will. I see that. But we're going to keep going through these calls. This is what we like to do this on Fridays, and we do it. We say from time to time, but kind of like doing it. It gives us a good sense to know what's on your mind and what's on your heart. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. It is Friday, and we're taking your calls on a variety of topics. And what we're going to do is keep going through these phone calls. A lot of them coming in. So as soon as the line opens, right now the lines are jammed. That doesn't mean don't call, because we're going to go through these. So keep calling, but let's go ahead and go right back to the phones here.
Mark in Missouri on line one. Mark, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. I was curious, since President Trump announced the scope of the material that he wanted declassified, why he didn't include both Yates and Rosenstein's texts and emails in that, so that...
Well, look, here's how it works. The president gets advice as to what... He had a request from Congress as to what was to be declassified. That was where the request came from. It came from Congress. We need to remember that then. I mean, and I appreciate the call, Mark, but the request came from Congress for specific pages and specific documents.
Yeah, Congress has been looking for this information for a long time, Jay. They've been rebuffed. That's why they like the president's request to declassify. Quite frankly, they're probably not thrilled with the idea that it's going to go through the inspector general now, because it'll take a little bit longer to get out. But to the caller's question, Jay, I would say this. I mean, we know that the inspector general is coming out with a report on the Russia investigation. I would suspect that Sally Yates and Rod Rosenstein are both going to be in that report. For better or for worse, that's going to be included in that report.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough. I mean, you know, the report's going to end up being an IG report. That's where this is going. That's the direction the president chose. That's his authority. There's no question about it. Let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, Bruce called in from Oregon on line three. Bruce, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Bruce.
Howdy. Jay, specifically for you, when the administration went from Obama to Trump, you made a point of how egregious it was that Obama opened up the flow of security information from 3 to 17 agencies with an executive order.
Right at the end.
Why hasn't Trump revoked that and got it back to just 3?
Well, that's a decision that he would be making in consultation with his national security advisors as to how they approach that. That's not something that, as the private counsel to the president, that we would weigh in on. I'm concerned. Look, I share the same concern that, you know, for 9 years it was fine, or 8 years it was fine to be three groups getting it, and then all of a sudden it goes to 18. I don't like it. I think that's helped with that. That's encouraged these leaks. But, and I don't know that it's not under review. But again, these things don't move, Harry. These things move at a kind of snail's pace inside of government. I mean, it's just, there's a review.
Absolutely. And so you raised a very important point. It's very possible that President Trump is actually reviewing this, but there's no reason why we, as outsiders, would know anything about the review, unless, of course, there was another leak. Hopefully there's a review ongoing with respect to President Obama's last-minute executive order.
Yeah, so I think that's part of the process.
Yeah, I do too. I think that all of this, again, would not be necessarily resolved in a year and a half or 2 years. I mean, that it just would not be the case.
Because you're having to undo a system that's been put in place, and that's become sometimes harder to do.
Once the documents have been around, once this intelligence community has been used to operating this way, so you'd have to do it in a way that's not going to put anybody in danger. And I say in danger, I mean American people, not people's jobs in the government, but the American people actually in danger because of how this how the intelligence community has been reformed. I think we told you that President Obama is doing these rapid changes in those last days of his presidency, and this was one of them. And it doesn't happen quickly. We talked about the Department of Justice being a multi-year project to reform. I think that's pretty obvious that the need, but doesn't happen quickly. And that's because of the methods that have been in place. Much easier to expand government than to shrink it.
And it's hard to undo it once it's been done.
Yeah.
That's always the issue. All right, let's go ahead and grab another
Richard's
phone call.
Richard's in Ohio on line two. Richard, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Richard.
Hi. My question is about the letter from Mrs. Ford to Feinstein. How can she keep that from Chairman Grassley? And why isn't that being shared in an unredacted state? And what can Grassley do to make sure that he gets that and shares that with the rest of the committee?
I'm going to send that right up to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. What's the latest on that?
Richard's got a great question, and there's no good answer. Dianne Feinstein has not shared the original unredacted letter, you know, the main piece of evidence in this case with the majority side. And Jay, I would take it a step further. She has also not participated, as have none of the members on the minority side, in any of the interviews that have already taken place with both Brett Kavanaugh and the witnesses involved here. Remember, the committee investigators interviewed both of them under oath, and the minority on the committee did not participate. So again, Jay, if we're after a fair process, if we're after the truth, both sides have to participate. They have to share evidence, and they have to actually participate in the process. I will say this. I don't, you know, Dr. Ford should be heard, but Senator Dianne Feinstein has not handled this in a way that would lead you to have confidence in the process.
Absolutely not. We got an interesting question on Facebook. Arlene on Facebook said, is there anything on the Supreme Court docket for 2018-2019 that might have Democrats fighting so hard against Kavanaugh? I don't think it's the cases. I think it's the idea, Jordan, if you could get it past the mid, make it a midterm, you know, what do we got, 47 days, 46 days to the election? I wonder if it's that.
Yeah, so long as the nominee stays forward, I mean, the Republicans will be in control through January, so likely would be confirmed if they so choose to go that route. Even if the elections turn bad for Republicans, they still keep control until January 3rd, I believe, this year.
But don't you think they would like to...
If they can make this an issue where you've got this hanging over Brett Kavanaugh's head, and then the head of the White House ultimately hanging over the White House, something the president has to respond to, something Republican candidates for Senate have got to respond to, this kind of accusation is very difficult. So
now, there's a report right now that there's been a counteroffer made for a Wednesday hearing, Phantom. This is just breaking right now. Can we get some information about that, Will? All right, we're going to look at that. So that would be, I guess, the compromise from Thursday to Wednesday. And that would affect the schedule, right, Than? If it was Wednesday.
Yeah, it would. I mean, if they didn't have the hearing until Wednesday, they probably couldn't have the vote in committee till Friday. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility since they asked for Thursday originally. Again, the committee hasn't been rigid on this, but they do want to make sure that there's an end in sight. An indefinite delay, Jay, that's not something they're going to accept.
Yeah. So I think Wednesday, if you look at it, would Wednesday still allow him to be, if it were move on track, would it still allow for a vote in the full Senate and he'd be on the court by October 1st? Conceivable?
Probably not. Most likely it'd be Wednesday. It'd be a Friday vote in committee. Probably Monday would be cloture, unless there was agreement by the minority in the Senate, which I highly doubt.
No
it would be Monday and then probably next Wednesday, which would be October 3rd. Quick calculation.
So, Harry, how do you see – what do you see as the – because this was also a question of what's going on here. I mean, there's been an allegation. Senator Feinstein's not released the letter. She said it was because it was under anonymity initially, but there's no anonymity now. And again, it's not attacking Dr. Ford. I think those allegations have to be viewed seriously, but they have to be made, actually. Because you said earlier, I said newspapers, you said innuendo. Well, between newspaper innuendo and a letter nobody's seeing, this is problematic.
It's very problematic, in part because it seems like the goalposts continue to be moved. Dr. Ford's team has asked for an investigation. It's important to note that the Senate Judiciary Committee has launched an investigation. They have talked to potential witnesses, but it's also important to note that the Democrats have failed to participate in that. And so all along this process, there have been problems with respect to moving this investigation forward expeditiously.
All right, we're going to be taking more of your calls, and we're here for another 30 minutes. So if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org or to Facebook or Periscope, because there we are, full TV production of this daily broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, and I think for the first time today, we have one line open, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be coming back from the break in just a minute. And again, I want to encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that by simply going to ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Follow me on Twitter, follow Jordan on Twitter, follow the ACLJ on Twitter. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right to live in freedom.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We have breaking news right now on the Brett Kavanaugh matter and with and Dr. Ford. The Senate Judiciary Committee is still in negotiations with Dr. Ford's attorney about how to move forward if she is going to testify. They have come up with a counteroffer that would call for Dr. Ford to testify on Wednesday, to testify first. Brett Kavanaugh would testify second. An independent lawyer would question both. Let me go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Than, does that take all senators out of the process of questioning?
Well, it sounds like it does. I mean, this is an idea that was first floated by Senator Collins, who just wanted to try to streamline the process and give the American people confidence in the proceedings. And she had suggested that maybe the attorney for Brett Kavanaugh and then the attorney for Dr. Ford be the ones that do the questioning. It sounds like to me that the committee offer, if it's accurate, according to CNN, might not pigeonhole it to just those two attorneys. They might be able to pick. It might not have to be Dr. Ford's personal attorney. But yes, it sounds like the senators themselves would not do the questioning under that scenario. Now, Jordan, I will say one of the original stipulations from Dr. Ford's attorneys is that no outside counsel be allowed to question. She only wanted questions from the senator. So I don't know yet how she will respond to that, but it does look like they've given on some of her demands and that they've stuck firm on probably the ones that are the most important.
And Harry, I think very important to this process is that she will have to testify first. It's not, that's not bizarre. That would be normal in any kind of situation where you have an accuser and the accused.
Absolutely. So elementary fairness, at least in my opinion, demands that the accuser go first. She is the one leveling the charge, and she is the one on whom the burden of proof typically rests under our Anglo-American system. So I think the Senate's counteroffer to Dr. Ford's team is very reasonable. It's consistent with the traditions of the United States. It's consistent with the United States Constitution, and it's consistent with elementary fairness to the accused and the accuser, at least in my opinion.
All right, so that is the breaking news right now. No indication yet, and I think we'll still be searching for this if we get an answer, if this is going to be behind closed doors or not, Than. I mean, that's probably the biggest other issue hanging out there is whether or not this is a very public spectacle in the sense that it is something everyone can tune into, or it is something that happens behind closed doors.
Yeah, I've actually reached out to some Hill sources to try to confirm all of these details, Jordan. I don't have that confirmation just yet, but I definitely suspect that the committee's position on that point will be the same as it's been from the very beginning. I think they will give Dr. Ford whatever setting, as far as public or private, that she prefers. That's been their position from the very beginning.
All right, let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We continue to go in order. It is Open Line Friday. That is the breaking news at this moment right now. The GOP counteroffer has been made to Dr. Ford in the Brett Kavanaugh matter. Grant calling in from Pennsylvania on line one. Grant, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to find out if there's any laws in place about obstruction, and if not, if there's any way we can get laws put in place so we can prevent this kind of future stuff going on.
You know, I mean, part of this is elections have consequences. There is, again, so you have the Republican majority in the House and the Senate right now, pretty slim in the U.S. Senate, all up for grabs in the midterm election where every House member is up and over 30 U.S. Senate seats are up for grabs. Ultimately, laws would have to be changed, so it would have to go through the congressional processes as well. I understand your frustration completely. I will say this is to me, is not just a partisan issue. You had a president, a disruptive president, a disruptor to the system. And so the system, and I say that regardless of whether some bureaucrat was registered Republican or Democrat, or where Jim Comey's political registration was, or Andrew McCabe's, and how political they were involved, President Trump was a threat to their normal course of doing business. So they all started pushing back. And we've seen how powerful the bureaucracy can be when it's in lockstep with an administration. See the Obama administration, when nothing was getting done through Congress, still much getting done through executive order, executive action. We've also now seen what happens when the bureaucracy is pushing back. And a lot of this, I think, has to happen through change, not just at the very top, but through Congress as well. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Well, this Friday we decided to open up the calls to you and see what you want to ask about, and we're doing just that. We're going to go right back to those phones, and it's 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Then it was hot in Washington, D.C. yesterday, weather-wise, still hot.
It's still hot, more than just weather-wise.
The steam's coming out of the Capitol making it warmer? The global warming going on there?
Let's go with the steam from the Capitol, not the global warming.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call.
Teresa is calling in from Illinois online for Teresa. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Teresa. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Hey. Hi, Jordan. My opinion is I understand that Dr. Ford wants to state her case. I understand that. But what I do not like, or what my opinion is like the manipulation of our system, what's been put in place, what's fair to Judge Kavanaugh. I don't think that the committee should let them manipulate them. They should stick to the gun. She should go first. This thing about him going first, I think that's uncalled for. And I think it's awful. Awful delay. That's just my opinion, Jay and Jordan.
Well, look, it's a good question. I think here's what you do. I mean, Monday didn't have to be in stone, so now they're saying maybe it's Wednesday. I do think you have to have procedural safeguards in place for everyone, and that is the accuser goes first. I mean, you could even have this. I mean, I'm not saying this would be the, but this happens sometimes. Accuser goes first. You could have Judge Kavanaugh goes, and they could give her a few minutes for a rebuttal. I mean, if they wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, that may be a compromise. I'm just saying, but to have the accused go first before the evidence has been put forward. We don't have a release of the documents, Harry. We don't have a release of the letter to Dianne Feinstein. Again, the abnormality there would be putting the judge in an impossible situation.
I think you're absolutely correct. And I just think it's important to take a step back and ask ourselves, do we want an outside legal team dictating to the United States Senate, which is governed by the Constitution, the rules of procedure? Yes, we should insist upon fairness to both the accused and the accuser. She ought to have the opportunity to fully and completely state her case, and then the accused, Judge Kavanaugh, ought to have, in fairness, an opportunity to respond. I also think that at the end of the day, that these negotiations could potentially crumble because we've seen this process kind of play out over the last several days. So I hope at the end of the day, we have an opportunity to clear the air and Judge Kavanaugh has the opportunity to clear his name.
I think that's right. And look, I'll say the other thing. I don't begrudge the lawyers for Dr. Ford in trying to negotiate rules of engagement, so to speak. That's not unusual. But I think where you're right, Harry, is to change the whole Senate functioning on this is going way outside of the scope. I mean, way outside. But again, Senate can do that. I mean, they have this. They have very broad authority on how they're going to set this up.
This goes to Lee's question on Periscope, which is this independent lawyer option put forward now by the Senate officially in its counteroffer to Dr. Ford's legal team. Who would choose that person? How do you choose ensure independence?
Well, that's
they would have
something,
to agree, likely.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, this was originally floated by the senators to have an independent lawyer.
Yes, so they've now made that official.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and I think her lawyer came back and said, no, we want the senators to ask the question.
They've now submitted that to the lawyer, though, officially.
They want an independent lawyer doing it. What do you think about that, Than?
I think it would be a good idea, each side choosing their own lawyer. But look, I'm just kind of going through the scorecard of this counter proposal, Jay. I think it looks like a good faith negotiation here because, look, on two of the points, the committee has essentially ceded to the other side, both the safety of Dr. Ford and also not being in the same room as Dr. Ford. They have declined her offer on two points, that Brett Kavanaugh go first and that they have the ability to dictate who the committee subpoenas. And then, Jay, they seem to have suggested a compromise in two areas, the date, maybe it's going to be Wednesday instead of Monday, and then two, who does the questioning. So on two they granted, on two they denied, and on two they offered a compromise.
Yeah.
That seems like a good faith negotiation.
Kathy on Facebook just said this, the new stipulations and negotiations mean that the initial request for an FBI investigation is off the table. It appears that is no longer a prerequisite.
Yeah, that's important to point out.
Yeah. I mean that's my understanding.
That the attorneys have dropped that for Dr. Ford as being a prerequisite. That would not occur between today to Friday. They're talking Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, and also, remember, the Senate has, I said this on Cuomo's program, the Senate has investigative authority here, Harry. I mean, they have the full subpoena authority.
Absolutely, and it's important to remember that the Senate Judiciary Committee has launched its own independent investigation. It has attempted to contact witnesses. It has attempted to interview witnesses. And that process, I believe, is still ongoing.
Yeah, so here's the question I think that's got to be on everybody's mind right now, and that is we've got the first Monday in October is coming up. You're saying, Than, based on the calendar, even on the best, now the negotiated date of Wednesday, you don't think he makes it. Can he be sworn in that Sunday before? Is that possible, or does that even outwork calendar?
Absent consent of the minority, I don't think you can get there before October 3rd if you don't have the hearing until Wednesday. You can always, I mean, that could be part of a deal, Jay. I mean, if you're going to push off the hearing, you could require minority consent to move things forward. That's probably a little far-fetched. Just looking at the calendar, if it does push back to Wednesday, I would think that October 3rd is probably the soonest he would get confirmed.
Yeah, so that's after the court starts again. They could re-argue cases. There's ways to deal with that, but it does raise a significant issue. It's interesting to me, though, Jordan, that the process, it's been an educational moment, I think, also for the United States, for the country, because to understand that the Senate has this independent role here and that a hearing, as was being initially proposed, was almost like a probable cause hearing, and that's not the role of the Senate here.
No. I mean, this is to gather information so that they can cast a vote. We've elected them to act on our behalf and cast votes so that you want them to be as informed as they believe they need to be to cast those votes. In this matter, we're kind of doing things in reverse now. We've already gone through the judicial philosophy of Brett Kavanaugh. That is not an issue here, how he sees the law, how he interprets the Constitution. That is usually part two. First, you'd have to get through the character and fitness, the background checks, which he has passed on a number of times.
He's got an ABA well-qualified rating.
Yeah, usually you do all this part, personal issues, issues of character concerns. Then you do the part that we've already completed, which is judicial philosophy. We already know basically how each senator is going to vote on his nomination. There were a handful who came out and said they just want to make sure this Dr. Ford was given an opportunity to speak. But if she just declines to, that will not impact their vote negatively. For Judge Kavanaugh, because ultimately this is what they have to make their decision based on. So if someone's not willing, with all the different options that have come available, behind closed doors, public, independent people, so you don't even have to talk to politicians at all and elected officials at all. That's right. Now been offered by the committee. I mean, so many different options are still on the table for Dr. Ford. Now, that being said, I still think that tells us where we are in the negotiation because there's a lot of room here still. So the question is timing as well. It's how long do you let this back and forth go on?
So following up on what Jordan just said, then, about the timing, I mean, what do you think about the time delays here?
I think this has to be the last offer, Jay. I think the Senate has a constitutional obligation and mandate to complete its work, to complete its review, and then actually vote on a nominee. So I think they've pushed it back two different times now. If this counteroffer is accurate, if I were the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I would say, look, I want to hear everyone out, but we have to do our job. Wednesday is the final offer. This is the time to either come or don't come.
All right. Shirley's calling in from Michigan online too. Shirley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
If Dr. Ford chooses to testify and do it behind closed doors, does that obligate Judge Kavanaugh to go behind closed doors? If he would rather be out in front of the people to hear his testimony, does he have that option?
Yeah, this is a great question. Look, he wants the opportunity to clear his name here. So, again, the Senate could set it up. The testimony could be in private, and then they could agree to let Brett do it publicly. He could issue a statement afterwards, or the whole thing could be done privately. That really is up to the United States Senate.
I think if it's done behind closed doors, it will be done behind closed doors. It may issue a public statement again, depending on what information ultimately becomes available to the public, and they might both issue public statements. But I think it changes things dramatically if this is all done behind closed doors.
Let me do this question to everybody here. I'll go last. Do you think that there will be a hearing next week on this, Jordan?
I really don't think. If there's anything, it's behind closed doors, and it right now I think it's in jeopardy yet again. This my opinion keeps changing on it, but this I must go first nonsense.
I think that could,
an accuser just doesn't get to do that. Doesn't get to force the accused to address something they don't know what you're accusing them of 100%. I mean,
right.
It's all based off immediately. Right,
I agree, Harry.
Well, I think the odds are less than 50-50 that there will indeed, A, be a public hearing, and B, even a private hearing, just based on the fact that the goalposts have continued to be pushed. Moved.
Dan, what do you think?
I really don't know, Jay. I mean, if you're
that's the guy that's in Washington right now. There you go.
I know. I guess I would say there's a greater than 50% chance that a hearing happens, but I won't be shocked.
I mean, does anyone think it's in jeopardy right now, his nomination?
Yes.
Is it in serious jeopardy?
Oh, the nomination.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a bigger question.
Until there's an allegation under oath,
so far,
I don't think so.
Not yet, but,
no.
But polls are starting to shift on it.
Yeah.
For the first time. So you see how this hangs out there. It's
here's the question.
Anybody.
You should be right now, the defense of Judge Kavanaugh should be at about DEFCON 1 or 2. Should not be at DEFCON 5. Look, do I think a hearing is going to go forward? Not with the prerequisite that the accused has to present his case without the accuser making theirs. We'll see. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
last segment of the Friday where we take your calls. So we've been taking your calls the whole day. That's a good way to do Fridays. Let's go right back to the phones. Who's next?
Yeah, we go in an order of the calls. And Jennifer's calling in from Minnesota on line 4. Jennifer, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Jennifer. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey guys. Just real quick question.
Sure.
Obviously, we're doing all of this, and it's a political type of thing as well.
Yep.
What do you think if they don't accept any more demands from this gal and her team? What politically do you feel will happen November 6th?
Well, look, I think this is. I'll defer to Jordan and Than on the politics, but let me just say on the legal issue, I think this. Either there's going to be a hearing on this or there's not, and I think that needs to be decided relatively soon here. This process cannot be just – you can't drag Brett Kavanaugh's name through the mud like this and not giving him – he's responding to nothing right now. There's nothing for him to respond to other than what he said is a denial.
Yeah.
But you've got all these allegations, and there's no other allegations have come forward at this point. So what do you have? You have – a process that should go forward. Dr. Ford should be given an opportunity to be heard. But once they give her that opportunity to be heard, if she doesn't take that opportunity to be heard, you cannot penalize the judge for that. I mean, that would be ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, if she doesn't. If she does, then there's a process.
Listen, this is to make this, really, to put this on a trial, and that's not so much for the American people. It's really for the senators. I mean, they are the ones who we elect to vote on these matters constitutionally. They have that power. So it's for them, really. As much as people kind of feel like it's for the American people, it's really for our senators we elect. The offers have been made. Chances to speak on this publicly, privately, behind closed doors. Who does the questioning is on the table. Not even having to respond directly to elected senators from partisan political campaigns. And having an independent attorney that would have to be likely agreed on by both parties involved here. I just think that there's a lot still spinning here, and it's going to have to come to a – it will come to a head. I mean, I think it will come to a head in the next few days, maybe by this evening, likely more like Monday, I think, at this point. I mean, I think you hit a weekend.
Well, they'll work through the weekend, but they should work through the weekend. We should know the plan by today, I think, in my personal view.
Well, if she's traveling out from California, which they've even offered to go out there, but if she's traveling out from California, it's not happening before Wednesday unless it's agreed upon Monday.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. All right, let's go ahead and take calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Yep.
Who's next?
Walter in Texas on line 1. Walter, welcome to JSEC.
Hi, Walter. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hey. So I have 2 points real quick. Yep. The first I want to say is, let's say they get their want, or they get the desire, they get what they want as far as Kavanaugh going first. My question is, what is he going to do? What is he going to say? There's nothing really he can say at that point, because there's nothing to refute.
Well,
he hasn't heard what she's going to say.
But this is the fundamental problem that Professor Hutchinson was pointing out. I mean, you're responding to a innuendo and a newspaper article, Harry.
Absolutely.
And that, because she would not go until after that, then would they give him a rebuttal? But, I mean, it's just not the way it should be.
That would violate fundamental fairness to the nominee. He has the right to be heard, but he should be heard in response to a specific allegation. If there is no specific allegation on the table, it would be, I think, in my opinion, impossible for him to fully and completely respond.
Than, I view this as kind of a deal breaker in the sense that it would just, fundamental fairness would be not played out right here.
Yeah, and I think the committee has said that, Jay. They said there were two red lines in this counteroffer. The one was that they're not going to make the accused go first and not have a chance to respond. The second was, Jay, is they're not going to turn over subpoena power to the accuser. They're going to retain subpoena power, and they will only subpoena people they want to do. So I think those are two red lines. I don't think they will move off of those.
Do you anticipate any other witnesses being called, or do you think it'll just be the two?
I don't. I think those are the two. And actually, I expect very shortly here, Jay, we're going to hear another red line, and that's going to be on a timing. I think they're going to give you an end date and say it's going to be resolved one way or another by X end date.
What do you think do you have any idea when that'll be?
I predict that a Wednesday hearing is their last offer on timing.
And when will they say you have to let us know by?
I don't know. I don't know if they will on that or not.
Okay.
I think they will probably set a committee date I think Jordan's probably right on travel timing. I think Monday's probably just a logistical end date there.
Well, I mean, Dr. Ford could be move to Washington, relocate to Washington over the weekend. I think if she presents the case, she should be able to present it. I think that would be fundamental fairness too, that she's the right to present the case. Let's grab another call.
Yeah, let's go to Dan in Nevada on line 3. Dan, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. my question has to do with kind of a philosophical approach that the committee has taken. It seems like they've said, we've set a new standard for right or wrong, and somebody's entire career is no longer valid as proof of who the person is. It's something that, you know, may or may not have happened in the past. If that's the standard, then I would think, why wouldn't the chairman then say to the committee, okay, if that's the standard, we're going to use one thing 30 years ago. Everybody in Congress now has to file through this same committee. And
well, that's but I understand the frustration, but that's just not the way the law works or the Senate works. The Senate has a role under the Constitution, advice and consent. The president nominates. That's his Article 2 authority. Article 1 authority is the Senate has the right to advise and consent. That's what the Senate does. So it's with the advice and consent of the Senate, and then pops it over to Article 1. So in that kind of situation, the Senate's decided that they will hear this accusation. Is a serious accusation? Is there a serious accusation that's been made? The judge should be able to defend himself. She should be able to, Dr. Ford should be able to make the allegation under oath. Under oath, Judge Kavanaugh will respond under oath. That's the way this has to be. Everybody needs to remember that. This is not just a discussion. This is under oath. And then, in that case, then the judges, so to speak, in this are the Senate Judiciary Committee members. They will determine the veracity and whether to move forward or not. That's just the way, if we follow the Constitution, it tends to work out, and that's what we should do here. Right now, you've got some manipulation on that.
It's a bizarre. Listen, the way this came out was bizarre.
Totally abnormal.
Dianne Feinstein's team leaking this. I mean, let it be a warning to all American people. Don't share information with politicians if you're not willing for it to be public about you. Because you see this came through a congresswoman and then ultimately to a U.S. senator. And after the nomination was over, after this information was turned over to the appropriate individuals, still this individual's name came out. We don't yet know if that was coordinated by Dr. Ford or not and okayed by Dr. Ford or not. That's certainly not the story we've been told. That's not how it's been explained. I do think that would be a question that would be interesting to know, is how involved she was. With the coordinated release of her name, or was it really done independently as a leak by Senator Feinstein's staff? You would feel like they should be facing some kind of situation for that, leaking an American person, an individual's name. But again, the steps she took, of all the people to go to a congressman and a senator's office and Washington newspapers, that's not exactly where you go if you're trying to keep your name private. I just think that it started bizarre because we already were through with this nomination. It was done. It was a done deal. The issues were laid forward. The Democrats had a horrible hearing. They looked ridiculous during the hearing. I don't even think most Americans can remember much of what Brett Kavanaugh said, because it was mostly this grandstanding by Democrats where they were even made to look foolish. Spartacus moments. I mean, that were
ridiculous,
absurd. But look at what happens now. It was like they had this card. They weren't sure if they were going to play it or not, and they realized there's enough Republicans in the middle, and there are. Let's play this and then see how happens. It turns out. Look, Roll the dice.
We'll keep you updated. If things develop this afternoon, I'm sure, Jordan, you'll get that out on Twitter, so follow Jordan at Twitter.
I think right now it's about when does Dr. Ford's attorney now respond? We know that there's a counteroffer that's been made.
Yeah, Harry, 10 seconds. Do you think there'll be a counteroffer, another counteroffer from the judge? You got literally 10 seconds.
Absolutely. I think her team will offer... make another counteroffer.
Yeah, I think I'm with Harry. I think the negotiations will go right through the weekend. All right, that does it for the broadcast. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ,